take your Bibles this evening, Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs 3. And we had a solo plan. We may save that solo for after the message. And Proverbs 3, if you will, in your Bibles, we're going to get right to the message. This morning we looked at a good bit of scripture in Daniel 3 and read, I don't know, 10, 12, 14, 16 verses in Daniel 3. And then we looked at a passage in 1 Timothy and also a passage in Romans. Tonight we're not going to look at that much scripture. We're going to look at just a few verses, and for many, very familiar verses. In some ways, it's a very simple message. It's a simple formula, but really a profound truth, or could have a profound impact in our lives if we allow it to. And I think we're only going to look at three or four verses tonight, but hopefully you'll get something that will be a help to you. My wife and I, we were high school sweethearts, and we didn't date seriously in high school. I don't think that's super healthy. And oh, there we are right there. They have a picture from those days. And that wasn't high school. That was a few years after high school, but that was college there. But thank you for laughing. That was very kind of you folks. Appreciate that. We didn't seriously date, but you know, I had my eye on her, and of course she had her eye on me. Who could blame her? And we dated, and we began to date somewhat seriously in college. And we were dating for a year or two, and we'd fallen in love, and I believed that she was the one for me. This is now about 16 summers ago. And we were dating very seriously. I had sought some counsel. I had just finished my junior year of Bible college, and I was getting ready to head into my senior year, and had sought some counsel and was thinking about if God would have us to get engaged and get married very soon, and was thinking along those lines. And being the good boyfriend that I was, I decided about 16 summers ago today, and that was right about the time. That's about how we looked. Things have changed. My waistline and my forehead have both expanded since then. There's not as much hair on top. Tiffany looks better than ever, doesn't she? She got the worst end of this bargain for sure, and I got the better end. But I decided to take her for a day at Six Flags Discovery Kingdom up in Northern California, Six Flags Amusement Park, and it was kind of like a Sea World. And we were there, and we were enjoying it. You know, I bought her whatever flavor cotton candy she wanted, and we rode the rides, and we watched the Shamu show, the killer whale that jumped out. And for some of you, that was before the Blackfish documentary. For those of you that might be looking at me, how could you dare do that? We watched that, and we were at the dolphin show and enjoying our. I thought we were enjoying our day, and everything was going well, but something just wasn't right. You guys know what I'm talking about? If you've ever been in a relationship with a lady, you know when just something just isn't right, and the fellowship isn't quite as sweet as it once was. And everything was, and I said, are you okay? Is everything okay? Yeah, everything's great. Okay, everything's great. Let's go. And so thought everything was great, and everything wasn't great. And we spent the whole day together, but on the ride home, it was kind of quiet. And we were driving home and not really talking. And I was trying to make, I'm just going to leave it alone. I didn't know what was going on. And the next day, she called me. I don't remember exactly how or where. I'm not sure if she, at that time, we had pagers. Remember pagers? That was a while ago. I don't know if she sent me a page, because she didn't call me very often. Generally, if we talked, I called her, and she was a little old-fashioned that way, and her parents were as well, about that. This was long before, you know, we didn't have, I guess I had a cell phone, but I think I had 100 minutes a month. That was the plan. And so you use that for emergency purposes only. And so I don't know if she sent me a page or whatever it was, but she gave me the dreaded words, "We need to talk." Not good, guys, all right? Just let me know. Those of you that aren't dating, you get it, and she says, we need to talk. That's not what she means. It's not, we need to talk. It's, we need to talk. And I remember driving over to her house. It was just around the corner from where I lived, and I was in college. Her dad was my pastor. He was also the Bible college president there. I remember knocking on the door. Hey, pastor, right this way. He looked like he was happy about what was about to happen. I wasn't sure there. The executioner leading me into the living room, and she's waiting for you. And we went there, and we had been dating and getting pretty serious for a few years, and it was a pretty serious relationship. And that night we talked, and tears were shed, and she let me know that she was having some questions and some doubts and struggling somewhat and wondering exactly if this was what God had. And we decided, as we talked that night, we decided to break up, and it was mutual. And that's what they all say when they get dumped, that it was mutual. And what that means, if somebody ever tells you it was mutual, it means they just got dumped. And I just got dumped that night. And it was mutual, but it was not mutual. And she let me know, you know, I'm struggling. And we knew that if we continued on the path that we were on, very shortly we were going to be married. And at that point, that was a done deal. And so she said there was just some things in her heart she was struggling with, and some things that she wasn't sure about, didn't quite have the peace of the Lord on, and wanted to take some time. And that was one of the more difficult moments of my life. The love of my life just broke up with me. She just, someone that I had given my heart to, and for me, I believed she was God's will for my life. I believed that was who I was supposed to marry, and she was telling me that we were not going to continue on at that point. We were going to break up, and we cried there. I went home, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. I went home, and I kind of put my head into my pillow, and I continued to cry, and I kind of cried myself to sleep, and I woke up the next morning, and you know something, you know when something is heavy on your heart, when right when you wake up, it's the first thing that comes to mind, right? And that's when something's real heavy on your heart. As soon as you wake up, it's the first thought in your consciousness. And I woke up, and my first thought was, man, I lost God's will for my life. The love of my life dumped me. The second thought that I had that morning was, I'm going to have a whole lot more money and free time now. And I'm just kidding, ladies. The third thing I had to do that day is I had to return all the voicemails from the ladies that had called after they found out I was back on the market there. And oh, that wasn't a good joke, was it? That wasn't good. Man, I'm not winning very many friends here. But in all seriousness, there was a pit in my stomach that night and the next morning. Really, it carried on for a day or two. And there was this pit. And to be honest, yes, my heart was broken. Yes, I was sad because I loved being with her, and I loved her, and I enjoyed being together. But the thing that really scared me was I felt like there was the opportunity now for me to miss God's will for my life. I felt like because of this that some jerk was going to come in and ask her out, and they were going to start dating, and which she didn't. You know, she went on a couple dates in the time that we were separated, but there was something was going to happen, and I was going to lose God's will for my life. I don't know about you, but you ever have those feelings of those times of uncertainty? Those times in your life where you wonder, God, what's going on in my life right now? God, has something happened that has messed up and I'm going to miss your plan for my life? God, I want your guidance. God, I want your leading, but I'm scared that I'm not going to make the right decision. I'm scared that there's maybe an opportunity before me, and I'm scared that I'm not going to do what is right, and I'm going to lose your will. I'm not going to follow the right path. In your life and in mine, we need God's leading and God's guidance. And I need to get to the title of the message so we can get that picture off the screen. I would like to go ahead and thank Brother Scott very much. I woke up this morning, I texted him yesterday with a link. That picture was buried deep in the archives of Facebook from many years ago. And I sent him a link to it saying, hey, can you get that so they can see? And this was supposed to be just our little secret, what we looked like 16 summers ago. I woke up this morning to Joni Newton with a comment on Facebook. Wow, that's all it said on that picture right there. And a bunch of people from this church are liking that picture on Facebook. And I went down the feed because that jerk right there, he liked it last night. And you know when you like something and then it goes to everybody, it's, you know, the old picture goes to the top. So thanks a lot. Now I'm back that was hidden. Nobody knew about that. And it's back to the front. But I need to get to the title. And tonight, I want to bring a message to you entitled Steps to God's Guidance. Steps to God's. See, in my life and in yours, I want God's guidance. I want to walk through the right doors. I want to know that God is guiding me and God is leading me. And I'm in the place where I'm supposed to be. And there are times where there are seasons of decision, and there are seasons where we wonder, God, what are you doing here, and what's going on there, and is this what you would have for me? And in my life, I wanted God to guide me. And the message is going to come from, and the reason I told you that whole story about the breakup is because God made these verses real in my life that next morning. It must have been, I'm trying to think, let's see, so it was June? July. Must have been July 2nd that we went, because the next morning must have been July 3rd, because that morning I woke up and there was that pit in my stomach. and that heartbrokenness and that loneliness and that fear of, God, what's next? And am I going to miss out on your will? And I remember very clearly as I was making my bed that morning, and I remember very clearly thinking, God, I've tried to give you my life. I've tried to do right, and I'm going to miss out on your plan for my life. I'm going to lose it. And I remember opening my Bible, as has been my habit for many years, and reading the proverb of the day. And I remember opening to Proverbs 3. I had read it scores of times before that, if not hundreds of times. But that morning, with that burden on my heart, these verses that I believe at that time I even had committed to memory, they took on a whole new meaning in my life. And we're going to read, if you have your Bibles there, Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6. Would you read Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 aloud with me? Ready? Begin. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm going to give you this evening a very simple formula. You're not going to leave and say, wow, we got some revolutionary truth from the Bible. He uncovered the layers of a passage that I've never quite understood in that way. These are going to be things that all of us understand, but very often we fail to practice. And this simple formula could have a profound impact as you seek to follow God's leading in your life. And I read that morning, that next morning after we had broken up in Proverbs 3, verse number 6, and I read, and he shall direct thy paths. And I thought, there's a promise right there. By the way, God doesn't want his will to be mysterious for you. God doesn't want what you're supposed to be doing to be something that you can't figure out. God is not some mysterious God sitting somewhere, oh boy, I'm trying to hide it from him. I wonder, I'm going to make him go around this and go around that. God, now he reveals it as we're able and as we're at the time and the way that he wants it. But God is not trying to hide his plan for your life from you. And the Bible says, he shall direct thy paths. And I was still sad, but I remember that morning a calm coming into my heart. I remember a peace from God coming as I read that, and I thought, if I will follow what I just read, if I will put to practice the principles that I just read, God promised I can't miss his will for my life. I can't miss his best for my life. That's what I had thought. I thought, well, surely I can find another person, but I'm going to miss God's best for my life. And God promised he shall direct thy paths. But there's some things there that come before that that are the steps to God's guidance in our lives. The steps that lead us to that promise, to God fulfilling that promise that he says, I will guide you, I will open the right doors for you, I will bring the right people into your lives. But first, there's some things that you're going to have to do on your end if you're going to have the guidance and the leading and the direction of God in your life. That's what I want. I want God to direct my paths. That's what I need. In our lives, we had in our lives this decision to make over this summer. And this was a big step for us. This was a big decision. This changed the future of our family. And I didn't want to make a mistake based on what made sense to me. I didn't want to do, well, that's a neat opportunity, or those are nice folks down there, or we're comfortable in Northern California. I didn't want it to be based on man's. It was bigger. This thing was too important for me to make the decision on my own. I wanted God to clearly guide and direct, and he did. And God showed himself step by step along the journey and gave me scripture and gave me things. But I came back to this, even through that season of decision, I came back to this passage and to these truths. I want to give you the steps to God's guidance. There are only three of them this evening. Number one, as we're seeking God's guidance in our lives, and if we want to make sure that we're not going to get off track and we're going to stay on the right path that he has for us, three thoughts. Number one, notice what it says in chapter 5. Trust in the Lord with, what's that word, church? With all thine heart. Number one, trust God in everything. Steps to God's guidance seem so basic. But when there's the times of uncertainty, it's usually in those times when we're predisposed to doubt. It's in those times when we're tempted to doubt and we wonder, and then all of a sudden we start to try to take things into our own hands. And when we get to those seasons of decision, those seasons in our life where we wonder, what is God doing in our lives? Are we on the right path? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust God in everything. Trust God in trust when it's good, yes, but also trust when the way is unclear. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, what is that picture of if you've ever been camping, you've ever been in the dark and everything's dark and you have a flashlight? What does that do? It illuminates the next step. And one of the ways that we can find out God's plan for our lives, does it agree with Scripture? If there's something that we've convinced ourselves this is the right step and there are scriptural principles against it, that's not the right step. Well, God is leading, I've talked with folks through my years of ministry, well, God is leading me and my family to do this. Well, if there are biblical principles that go against what you're telling me God is leading you, that God's word is not the lamp unto your feet. God's word is not the thing that's illuminating that next step. It's man's wisdom and man's reasoning. Trust God in everything. When it doesn't make sense, when it seems like your path is unclear and God's plan for your life makes no sense, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. And I found myself there in that situation with when my wife and I were dating. I found myself, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. Would you direct my path? God, it doesn't make sense why this person is standing against me, but I trust you. Would you direct my path? Help me to respond in a Christ-like manner. God, it doesn't make sense why we're facing this struggle in our family, but I trust you. Would you direct our paths? God, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand why you're doing this and allowing that and bringing this into my life, but I trust you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's step number one. And it says at the end of verse number six, and he shall direct thy paths. God, I let go of my life and I give it to you. Open the doors you want to open and close the doors you want to close. In my life, my reasoning, I wanted to marry Tiffany Treiber. But I remember, and during that time, we were separated for about 3 months, and during that time, I remember there was a day that I set aside every day to fast and pray. And I was not fasting and praying that we would get back together. I was fasting and praying that God would direct my steps. I was fasting and praying that God would open the right doors that he wanted opened and that he would close the doors he wanted closed. And I can remember driving to work in my 1985 navy blue Honda Accord and going to work in that car. And I remember, there are times I remember God, and tears would come to my eyes as I would say it, God, if she's not your will for my life, close the door. And that's not what I wanted to pray. Because I wanted her to be his will for my life, but I wanted God's will greater than mine. There's some things I'm praying about in our church family that to me are big needs and things that I want to see happen. Things that I believe would bring honor and glory and would be great for the future of the Liberty Baptist Church. But God knows my heart. And there are things that I'm praying about and I'm saying, God, I want this, but God, more than what I want your will. Would you direct our paths? I see many of our wonderful Spanish folks here tonight from our Spanish ministry. And I'm praying on a daily basis that God would give guidance and direction there. And I have some ideas of some good things to do there, but I don't want my ideas to lead this church. God, would you direct our paths? Because their families are too important for me to do what makes sense to me. I want God to do what he wants to do. I want the right thing for our church family and for every family represented. In your life and in mine, when the way seems unclear, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. God, it doesn't make sense, but I trust you. I trust you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We talked about it this morning. What did the three Hebrew children do? They did right when everything seemed wrong. We believe that he's able to deliver us, but if not, I trust you. God, we believe you can do it, but if you don't, we're still going to live for you, and guess what? And he shall direct thy paths. He opened the doors he wanted to open. He showed himself strong in the way he wanted to show himself strong. When we come to a place where we say, God, it's not my life anymore. God, I'm not going to do it, and that's going to lead us to our next point, but God, I trust you, then God says, okay, I can guide him now. Have you ever tried to help somebody that didn't want guidance? Have you ever tried to teach somebody maybe how to do something, maybe how to swim or some other thing or ride a bike, and they wouldn't listen to you, they wouldn't trust you? You can't help guide them, can you? When they're fighting against you, it's not going to work, and you're trying, no, I got to turn, what do you have to do? You have to, you know, you can't guide them when they're not willing to trust you. And God can't guide you, and he can't guide me as long as we're not willing to trust him with the things that come into our lives. Number two, steps to God's guidance. Number one, trust God in everything. Number two, the second half of verse number five. Would you read the second half beginning with the word and aloud with me? Ready? Begin. and lean not unto thine own understanding. This is a big one. If you want God to guide you, number two, stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to figure it out. I don't like this one. When things are going wrong in my life, when things don't make sense, you know what I want to do? I want to grab hold of the driver's wheel and say, now this makes sense. Okay, I can steer that way, and that makes sense. Okay, I'll put this in a row, and this. And I've done that before, and guess what? Nearly every time, if not every time when I do that, I make a mess of things. But you know the times when I look back and say, God, I trust you, and I don't understand? It says, lean not to thine own understanding. Stop trying to figure it out. Well, here's how I can fix that problem, and here's how I can fix that relationship, and here's how I can do this, and I can do that, and I can manipulate this, and I can go at work, I can do this, and I can do, you know what, God? I trust you. I'm going to take my hands off the steering wheel of my life, and God, I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to stop trying to figure it out in my life. God, I'm going to lean upon not just, so what do we lean upon? What understanding do we lean upon? We lean upon the understanding of Scripture. We lean upon the understanding of spiritual counsel. We lean upon the understanding of the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we say, God, I'm going to stop trying to figure this out, and I'm just going to trust you, and I'm going to let you guide, and I'm going to let you lead. We try to help God with our lives. But we need to say, God, I don't want to help you with my life. Just guide me. That old hymn, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. God, would you take control of my life? And we have this problem in my family, at work, at church, wherever you're having an issue that you don't understand and you can't quite see, it's kind of foggy. Instead of, okay, if I do this, 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 and this, all the puzzle pieces fit together perfectly. Say, God, I believe that could work, but only if you would open the door. Only if you guide and lead. Only if this is what you have. Would you make it very clear in my life? And he gives us up ways to do that. Again, one of them is Scripture. Pastor Tomlinson and I, when we began communicating about this whole transition, he had much wisdom. And he told me, he said, Brother Ryan, he said, I have for me some Scriptures that God has given me that I know I'm supposed to take the next step in my life in this Barnabas 1040. God has given me Scriptures I can't get away from. They were in the Gospels, most of them. And he listed some of those, and he said, what I would challenge you to do is I would challenge you to go take a couple of days in prayer and seek God and spend some time in his word and see if he gives you clear guidance. It made sense to us. It seemed that this was what God was doing. Humanly speaking, my wife and I knew that God was stirring our hearts. We had candidated to pastor at another church 2 years ago. We had never sought. We didn't take things in our hand. We had never sought, put a resume out. We never told anybody we want to pastor. That's what we're looking to do. We weren't on a career journey or search. That wasn't the case, but a door had opened 2 years prior that we had peace about pursuing the open door. As we pursued that open door, we didn't have peace. God closed the door. In our own hearts, to be honest, at the time, we wanted to go. It was a very appealing situation for us and with where we were in our lives and our families. But both of us, when we went there and the people loved us, they actually voted when we went, even though we told them we're not going to make a decision until we have a week or two. While we were there, they voted and said, just so you know, if you decide that you want to come, we've already voted. We want you to come. And in our flesh, we kind of wanted to. But both of us, as we got there, we said, God's not giving us peace to walk through that open door. Now I look back, and to be honest, there was a little bit of disappointment there. Because we thought that's what God had been preparing us for. But I look back and I can see now, again, as we heard the song this morning, all along your hand has been guiding me. God had something different planned for us, and he had another door to open. At the time, we didn't understand it. It was another 2 years of waiting and preparing and praying and getting ready to see what God had. But in our lives, when we see those times, I don't want to be the one that kicks a door open. I want to have the faith to walk through an open door, because sometimes God opens a door and we're scared to walk through it. Sometimes, hey, can you serve in this way at the church? Oh, I don't know if I could ever do that. And we're scared to walk through an open door, but other times we kick a door open that God never wanted open. And Pastor Tomlinson told me, it made sense to us. We felt like God had knit our hearts here and had been preparing us for this, but he said, I would suggest that you get alone and get in God's word. He said, there's going to be some times when life's not going to be easy sitting in the seat of the pastor, and you're going to need to go back and know that God brought you here and God called you, and there's some scriptural principles that he put in your heart, and God gave me several passages over that weekend, and God did some other things through spiritual counsel in my life, and God did some other things, just some, if I had the time to tell you, some miraculous openings of doors in our lives, things that never would have happened if it not had not been God. But how did that happen? When I stopped trying to figure it out, how do we figure things out, we go to his word. We listen to the preaching and the principles of His Word. We go for spiritual counsel in our lives. Number one, I told you it's just more of a devotional tonight. Steps to God's guidance. Number one, trust God in everything. Number two, stop trying to figure it out. And then lastly, notice verse number six. Proverbs 3, verse 6. In, what's the word there, church? In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Here's the third step to God's guidance. So He gives these three things, and then He says, and He shall direct thy paths. You want to know you're in the right place doing the right thing, even when it doesn't make sense? God, you know I trust You. I'm not trying to figure this out on my own. I'm living upon principles of God's Word. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. And then thirdly, do what you're supposed to do. What does that mean? In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. When it doesn't make sense, you just keep doing what you're supposed to do. When it doesn't make sense and you don't understand what God's doing in your life, what do we do when things don't make sense? Very often, we run. We blow up. We do crazy things. When something doesn't make sense to us, we decide to come up with a new solution for our lives. We decide this is what we need to do, and this is what we need to do. But there have been people that I've talked with in churches that I've served in places that I've served, and I've asked them. They've told me, we're making this big decision that has implications in our family for years and years in our marriage and all of that. And I've asked them, what spiritual godly leader in your life thinks that's a good move? Because I'm one of the spiritual leaders in your life, and you didn't ask me. What scriptural principle are you basing that decision upon? Are you still doing what we do when things don't make sense? We stop doing what we're supposed to do, and we kind of go into just this neutral mode and say, okay, God, when you want to guide my path, then wake me back up and get me back on track. Hey, how does it work? It's easy with a ship. You can only steer a moving ship. That ship's got to be going for it to be able to be guided. The same thing in our lives. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. God, I don't understand. I remember as I read that July 3rd morning, 16 years ago, God, it hurts, but I'm going to stay faithful to You. Every morning I'm going to try to get up and read Your Word. I'm going to try to spend time in prayer. I'm going to stay faithful in the areas of service. I was at that time a bus captain, and I'm going to continue to lead that bus route, and I'm going to go and try to love people and try to invest in people, and I'm going to be faithful in my giving and faithful in my walk with You. God, I don't understand it. I feel like I'm missing Your plan. I feel like I'm missing Your path, but God, thank You for those two verses. I'm going to trust You when I don't understand. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm not going to write her a note, and why don't You do this, and I'm not going to call her and talk to her parents. Could You convince her to do this and that? God, if You want it, You're going to bring us back together. I'm going to keep on doing what You've called me to do. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God, is this pleasing to You? God, have I sought Scripture? God, is the Spirit guiding me? God will open doors. He will guide your path. And by the way, if Scripture, the Holy Spirit, and spiritual counsel all agree, then go ahead and step out in faith. That's God. God opens doors. And sometimes, I was talking with a friend in another city, and I was talking to him, and I said, sometimes God doesn't open doors, and we push them open, but sometimes God opens doors, and we're too scared to step out. We're too afraid. And God gives us opportunities in the local church of service, but we're too scared. God couldn't use me, and God couldn't do that. If in your life, if scriptural principles, spiritual advice, and again, is God's given you spiritual leaders, not just someone you know is going to tell you what you want to hear. All of us can find counsel that we want to hear. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. I talked to one man that was making a decision to leave a ministry he had been at for many, many years and to go to another ministry to pastor. I sought counsel from him when I was making this decision in my life. And he said, you know, Ryan, I asked 18 people, my pastor and 18 men that knew me, pastors and preachers, and that were over the age of 50, that had wisdom. And he said 16 of them believed that God was opening this door. Two of them didn't. He said the two that didn't, they both had a reason personally why they wanted me to stay where I was, and they didn't want me to follow that leading. But he said, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. God gave him Scripture, he got spiritual advice, and the Holy Spirit led. If those things aren't all aligning, it might be that you're trying to figure it out in your life. It might be that you're trying to figure, I got to open that door, and we need to move here, and we need to go there, and we need to start this new career path. And I'm not saying nobody should ever start a new career path. I'm saying for these big decisions, when things are unclear, let's go back to the spiritual principles, the steps to God's guidance. Trust Him in everything. If your decision leads you to run from something, it's probably not God's will. Trust Him in everything. Stop trying to figure it out. Do what you're supposed to do. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Keep doing what you know to do. Keep doing what you know is right, and God will reveal what you don't know. Walk in the light that God has given you today, and tomorrow He'll open another door. It'll be amazing how God will guide, and you'll be able to look back, as you can undoubtedly in your life, and I'll be able to look back and say, I didn't understand it. I was talking to a pastor this week, and he said, I wanted to go start a church. He's pastoring a church in Chino, doing a great job, a new church. He just started. He said, I wanted to go pastor somewhere east, and my pastor told me, no, you need to go west. He said, I didn't understand it, but I just said, if that's where I should go, I'm going to go there. He said, we got there. We had this church supported him for 6 months, another church supported him for 12 months, $100 a month, and then maybe one other church. He said he had $200 or $300 a month support. I'm not sure if you're aware, that's not a real good foundation to get a church started. But he knew God had called him to do it. He had scriptural principle about how God had led him. The Holy Spirit was leading him to pastor. He followed the spiritual advice, and I'm not saying that a pastor is a dictator in our lives. I'm not saying that. But he followed the spiritual advice of his pastor. And within 1 month of moving to that city, they were renting a schoolhouse. Within 1 month, there was a church that had a property. Brother Ryan, you were with me. What did he say it's worth? About $2 million. $2 million property. They've got a beautiful old historic. It was a one-room schoolhouse. It's a beautiful old building on the property. Beautiful church building. And a parsonage. It has a house. Debt-free. They had four people left. The college he graduated from, the four people that were there said, we will never ask a pastor from that college to come pastor this church. He went there by faith. God opened the door. He walked by faith when it didn't make sense. And within 1 month, he was pastoring. They had merged, the four people and his little group of people. And he now has a property with a home that his family lives on and a church where they can meet. And it's all debt-free. How does that happen? Man can't figure that out. God, you opened that door? Okay. My pastor gives me spiritual advice and wisdom. This spiritual leader in my life, God, your word, your Holy Spirit. Okay, it doesn't make sense. It seems like I should go do that, but you know what? I'm just going to follow. And step by step by step, and He shall direct thy paths. I've watched so many people, I believe, leave what maybe God had for them and leave good churches and leave where God was working in their lives and in their midst. And I just moved. So I'm not saying that moving is always unspiritual, but I did not do that without seeking much counsel and spiritual wisdom from God and from His Word and from people in my life. But I've seen so many people try to take things into their own hands. And I want you to see, it doesn't stop in verse number 6, and we're almost done. Verse number 7. The pattern repeats itself again in the next two verses. Notice what it says in verse number 7. Be not what, church? Be not wise in thine own eyes. So now we kind of get they mix up the order. Be not wise in thine own eyes. What is he saying? Don't try to figure it out. Be not wise. Well, it makes sense. This person needs my help. Well, I need to go do that. Well, this job opened up, and if a job opened, it might be the right thing. But make sure it's God leading. Make sure it's God guiding. And not your own flesh and your own wisdom. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Notice what it says in verse 7. Fear the Lord. Trust God in everything. And what? Depart from evil. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Those are the three steps to God's guidance. I'm in the place I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, trusting the one I'm supposed to be trusting. And then notice what happens. It says in verse number 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If you'll do what you're supposed to do, stop trying to figure it out, trust God in everything, God will bless and guide. Again, I mentioned this morning. 1 year ago today, we were in this church on vacation. A year later, we live in Orange County, and we've been serving here now for the last couple of months. How did that happen? In our lives, I believe we tried to follow this formula. Trust God in everything. We had no idea when we were here. I talked with Pastor Tomlinson. He actually told me last November, I believe God's leading my family away. And never any hint that either one of us thought that we were talking about me. He just said, and I've been praying and praying that God would send the right person. I believe that God has another, when I say leading me away, God has another plan for my life as He's talked to us about that last lap of ministry. He talked to me about that last November as we sat at Islands. But no idea. I went home, no inkling, no hint from me or him. I didn't tell him, oh, I've been looking to pastor. Think about me. Here's my resume. Nothing. We were just talking about, I said, such a wonderful church. It's exciting to see what's happening. And he was saying, just pray for us here. I had no idea. But my wife and I have known for quite some time that God was stirring our hearts. We believed God was leading us to something else, and we didn't know what. We weren't running from problems. We loved it there. We have friends of a lifetime and family there, but we knew God was preparing us for something else, but we didn't know what it was, and I didn't want to press the door open. I didn't want to push it open, and I didn't know what God had, but I tried to trust him when it didn't make sense. And when the one door that did open, we pursued it, and we didn't have a peace about following, and another door didn't open for 2 more years. God, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. God, I'm going to try to be what I'm supposed to be, and God, would you guide, and would you lead our family, and would you guide us into the path that you have for us? You want steps to God's guidance? Get in his word. Spend time with him in prayer. Stop justifying or manufacturing your plans and seek his plans. Stay focused on what God's giving you to. The Bible says you're faithful over a few things. God will make you ruler over many. That principle, you take what God gives you and you do well with it. God will open other doors. A man's gift maketh room for him. The rest of the story, I started with that breakup. Well, the rest of the story, 3 months later, Tiffany came to her senses. She came crawling back, begging for mercy, saying, "What have I done?" And we lived happily ever after until I told that part of the story. By the way, I didn't miss out on God's will for my life. And I don't look back now. At the time, it was a very difficult moment, but God grew us in that time. He matured us. He taught us some things. Now we've been married nearly 16 years, 5 children serving together here with the wonderful people of the Liberty Baptist Church. Now we have a picture that looks a little more like what I look today. Instead of that first one, I think they have a picture there. And that's at that time, I never could have seen that picture. July 3rd, when I read those verses, that picture didn't exist. I had no idea that's what God had planned. But he gave me those verses, and he gave me that peace. And I don't know what in your life is unclear. I don't know what you're frustrated about or you're unsure about and doesn't make sense and you wish he would move quicker or he would move in this way and he would open this door, but I can tell you, I know for me, I just didn't want to be out of his will, and that's what I was scared of. And for you, I can tell you, if you'll follow those steps, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Every head bowed and every eye closed. That in my life, which was one of the worst moments, now I look back and I see it's a good moment that God used for my good. If you'll handle the situations of your life correctly, when things don't make sense, you'll look back 1 year, 2, 5, 10 from now, and you'll say, God, you used that painful situation, that heartbreaking transition, that difficult situation in my life. You used it to grow me in you and to grow me and to bring me closer to you. God, help me just to trust you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's all stand together. The piano begins to play. Would you come forward? The altar's open if you'd like to spend some time at the altar. Steps to God's guidance. I want to stay in his will. How about you? Let's stop trying to figure it all out and ask God, would you direct my paths? Would you open the doors you want to open and close the doors you want to close? And if Scripture and spiritual counsel and the Holy Spirit all agree, God, give me the strength to step out by faith. Disappointment from what seems like a missed opportunity might turn out to be one of the greatest workings of God in your life if you'll handle it correctly. Lord, you know these are just simple thoughts. I almost kind of felt bad bringing this message tonight. I know it's nothing revolutionary, but God, may your people have been helped. When the path seems unclear, may your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, illuminating that next step. God, help us to walk in the light that we have today and trust that you'll give us the light that we need tomorrow. Help us, dear Lord, to trust you. Help us not to try to manufacture and manipulate the situations that make sense to us, just to stay patiently, waiting on you, doing what you would have us to do, and God looking back and saying, all along, your hand has been guiding us. Would you bless your people this week? Help us to please you. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.